Welcome Baptist Church up here on Martinville Highway. The pastor, Brother Jeff Wood, he's having revival the 15th through the 18th of this month. It's 7:30 nightly. Pastor Randy Smith, he's from Pickens, North Carolina, South Carolina, excuse me. Everybody knew Brother Jimmy Hussey that was there before he retired and everything. But we just need to be mindful to what the Lord is most to do. And I love to talk about what the Lord has done for me. I love to talk to people about it. I love to tell people about all His mercy and all His grace and everything. But I want to speak on the Christian's concern and the Christian's compassion. We are concerned today. We're concerned about certain things. But we need to be concerned about our family. We need to be concerned about our co-workers. We need to be concerned about our friends. That whether they, if they know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we need to be concerned for them for that, because there is coming the day, and I don't believe it's going to be much longer, than when the Lord's going to step out, and I believe he's already stepped out on the cloud, but I believe he's waiting for God's command just to give him the words to go and get his people. Now I believe that God Almighty, he's going to turn one day and he's going to say to his son, he's going to say, "Son, it's time now. It is time to go and receive my children back here." And when he does, when he hears that, he's not going to just automatically just bring us up. No, he's going to turn to Gabriel and he's going to say, "Gabriel, I want you to blow the horn. I want you to blow that trumpet." And when he blows that trumpet, we that are saved and know Jesus Christ, we are the ones that's going to hear that sound. No one else is going to hear it. The lost is not going to hear it. We that are saved are going to hear it. And I'm scared to say this morning that I got a feeling that we're going to be surprised at some people that's going to be there. We're going to be surprised at the people that's not going to be there that we expect to be there. But nothing should be any surprise to us. God's not taken by surprise. God knows it. God sees it. God knows what's exactly going to happen. God knows exactly who's going. But God is still giving the individuals the free will. He's still giving them the free will to make that final decision on the destiny. And it's not but one or two destinies that people are going. And in the first place, that I believe that majority of the people are going is hell. I hate to say that. And I don't want to see no one go to hell. If you're saved, you don't either. The Lord Jesus Christ, he did not come and to die to see sinners go to hell. He came and he went to the cross and he died and he took up their sin, that they may have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally. But I believe the reason for a whole lot of this is going on is because people are not seeing Christ in our lives, in the Christian's life. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that I can be about a Christian. I know that I can. I know that I can do something better than I've done before. I know that, and I realize that. And God also knows that. But see, God's not going to push it down on me. God's not going to push it on you. God's not going to push the salvation that only He can give upon the people's hearts. He's not going to do it. That's not God. He's a God of love. And if He wants to just come and start hounding somebody and hounding them and pushing them to make a decision, then they would make the decision. Why? They will make it because of pressure. They will make it because of pressure. We don't need to pressure anybody. What we need to do, and what I need to do, I need to go out here, and I just need to live the Christian life before this world. And as if I do that, then they're going to see something in my life that they're going to want to have. They're going to say, well, if he can live it, and if he can be always happy, and he can always have a joy in his step, and a smile upon his face, and always talking about the one that he loves, I can have the same thing. They can. They can have the same thing. But what the problem is, they believe that they have to give up something. They don't have to give up a thing. I've never found it in God's Word that God says, you have got to give this up before I can save you. No, He will come and save the individual. And then after the individual accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, then the Lord will take over. The Lord will take that thing that was causing them to go backwards and further backwards and farther backwards from the Lord and through God's Word, where people are going out and telling them. What's the reason that we go out and we tell people? What is behind it? What is behind me and wanting to go out there and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what's behind it? L-O-V-E, love. Because God first loved me, that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. And His Son, He loved me that much. Christians, concern and compassion. Are we really concerned about people? Are we just concerned about what I can do and what we may do? No, we don't need to worry about ourselves, because we're okay. I'm okay in the Lord. I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. What I need to do and what I need to show people is God's precious love in my soul and in my heart, that I want them to have the same type of experience that I've had. And I promise them that if they'll ever truly give their heart and their life over to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into their heart, to save their soul, and to be the Lord of thy life, they will never, ever regret it. I have never seen anyone that has ever been saved by the Word of God and by God's design that has ever come back and says, you know, I wish I hadn't got saved. I wish I hadn't got saved. Have you? I haven't never heard anybody. But the people that come into church and they come in, and yes, and they'll come in for a while And then they get so bogged down. And it's just not here. It's everywhere. It's rampant. Now, I heard this past week through somebody that I know, and you know him, that Brother J.D. Walker was preaching last Sunday night for this pastor. Said he brought a great message. At the end of the message, and at the end where they already went through the preliminaries and all of that, had the altar call and all of that, they were standing at the back door. And the people was coming by and shaking the preacher's hand and shaking Brother J.D. Walker's hand, Sister Debbie's hand, and the pastor's wife's hand, shaking the hand. And the pastor says, "Have they give you an envelope yet?" He says, "No." So he saw the lady that writes the checks and saw her and says, "How about you go in and write a check and give it to him? You know how much we've been giving them? You write a check and give it to him." You know what she said with the other people? Said, "We're not going to pay him." They didn't pay him. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's how people are in God's house today. That's how people are today. They don't care. They don't even care. They don't care about their own soul. They don't care about their family's soul. They don't care if they go to a hell or not. They just don't care. Because you know the reason why? Because they think all of this is just a figment of imagination. Because they believe that if you can't see Jesus, and if you can't see God, then Jesus don't exist and God don't exist. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't see how any world, the individual, or the individuals that said that, and it wasn't just the one individual, it was three or four of them said it. How they can go home and go to bed and go to sleep. I'd be so scared to death. I fear God that much. That's the thing about it. People don't fear God. They don't fear the house of God. We have people that were coming to church, I mean from the outside world, and I don't say nothing to them the first time, but they come in, they'll bring a drink or something like that. Now the only reason I got the bottle of water up here is because my mouth dries out because of I ain't figured out the pill yet that I'm taking, but if I were figured out, I promise you I ain't going to take it no more because my mouth dries completely out. The individual. People today, they're doing everything they can. The devil, bye-bye, see you later.
See you Wednesday.
All righty. But the devil is working within the church. And when I say when the devil is working within the church, I'm talking about the church, the individual's hearts. The only thing the devil wants from me, he wants it to destroy me. He wants me to give up praying. He wants me to give up in studying his word. He wants me to give up in calling people. He wants me to just give it all up. And he tell me, say, preacher, so you know, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. How long you been down in Faith Baptist? How many people coming? There ain't no new people coming, join? Hey, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the whole picture. I'm looking at the whole picture. And the whole picture includes the kingdom of God. It's just not about me, this church. It's about God. And if we get our eyes off of that, and if we get focused on why not, why are we not growing? Why we are not doing this? And why the church is staying still? We don't know if the church is staying still or not. We don't know that. We said, well, yes, it's staying still because we don't have no more people. It's just the same ones. Let me tell you what. I'd rather have a church. And I think I've told you all this plenty of times before. I'd rather have a church. I'd rather have this church right here. And knowing each and every one of you. Know that you love the Lord. Because it's no doubt, I will not be afraid to say that each and every one of you, the devil has spoke to. The devil has spoken to you lately about saying, why do you keep going? You know you could go over there and they got more people over there. They got a choir singing. You love to sing in a choir and you can go and you can join the choir and sing. You can be able to meet more people. And the children, they come out. The devil will do that. The devil has no doubt has done each one of us that way, if you're truthful. If you're truthful, then you'll admit to say yourself, yes, the devil has tried. See, God placed you here. Why did God place you here? God placed you here for a reason. We can't all go to the same church. We can't all belong to the same church because we have different makeups. We have different makeups. My makeup is different from any other preacher. Yes, I could go probably into some of these churches and I could probably preach. Yeah. But in what I preach, I won't be called back. There's not but a few churches over my ministry that I've been to more than once. And I can count them with the four fingers. Why? They don't want you back. They don't want nobody coming out and teach them. They don't want somebody to come in and tell them how they're supposed to live. I'm not telling nobody how they're supposed to live. I'm just delivering the mail. Brother Bill, he works for the government. And delivering the individuals, the people's mail. But not only that, he's also another mail carrier. He's a mail carrier for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're all our mail carriers. We are supposed to go out here and tell people. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, it says this. But when he saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. In other words, when he saw the people gathering, his love just come forward. His love just come forward to where, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Yes, there are churches. I can probably count them. I can probably name them too. There are churches within Ringgold and Danville, Virginia. Yes, has a pastor there. Yes, has a preacher there that's preaching every Sunday. But they don't have no shepherd. They don't have no shepherd. Why? Because they just up there playing. This thing about playing, it's time to get over that. It's time to get over that we should not play with about church anymore. We need to tell people about what's going on. You know, a whole lot of us didn't realize this, probably all of us. We didn't realize this after we was born, that we was born to sinner. I didn't know that I was born to sinner until I got saved and then I started reading this book. Then I come to find out that I was born a sinner. And God gave me a free will. God gave me a choice. He didn't give me a choice that I can get on the fence and I can straddle that fence. No. He gave me a choice that either I cross over and get on the other side of the fence or stay on this side. But I chose not to straddle the fence. I chose to go over the fence where the Lord's at. Because if I'm going to straddle that fence, what am I going to do? I got 1 foot serving the Lord. Then I got 1 foot with the devil. And I'll tell you exactly who's going to win out. Do you know who's going to win out if we straddle the fence and we got one fence? We got one leg over the fence that's serving the Lord, and we got one leg on the other side of the fence that's serving the devil. You know who's going to win out? Satan. Because he makes everything so beautiful. He makes everything so grand. He's going to win every time. Until I take my leg, and when I'm straddling that fence, and I say, Satan, no more. And then I take my leg and I put it over with the other leg. Well, I'm not straddling the fence. I'm with God. You're either going to have to be with God all the way or no way. And I'm so thankful that not only God saved my soul, but he put something there in my soul that wasn't there before. And it was concern for other individuals. You know, I didn't love other people. Matter of fact, I didn't even like other people. If they weren't doing the same thing that I was doing, heck with them. I didn't care. But that's the difference. See, I didn't have to say, well, God, I'll tell you what. Yes, I'm going to try my very best within the next week or two and go to church. But I've got to have some compassion for other people. I don't need to hate people anymore. He didn't say, well, Donnie, I know that. So, you know, I'm going to try my very best in the next couple of weeks or maybe the next month and kind of turning your heart around. No. Let me tell you why. Because the Lord could not turn my heart around. Because I was still serving the devil. Still serving the devil. Because over in Romans 3:23, it says, for by grace. 3:23. It's 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That's what I was facing. I was facing death. And I didn't realize it. So he didn't say, son, I'm going to do everything I can to get you start loving people. He says, you come and accept me. And you don't have to worry about loving people. You don't have to worry about the individual that you hate. You just come. And as you come, I will do the rest. That's the problem. We don't allow God to do anything for us. Because we think that we know better. That we can do it. I can do it better than God. But I can't. No one can. The individuals today, people, they are so confused today about what's going on. They don't know who to believe anymore. They don't know if I can believe this preacher and what he's preaching, or if I can believe in that preacher and what he's preaching. I don't know who to believe anymore. But when he saw the multitudes, there were all types of people in the crowd that followed Jesus. All type of people. You can go out here, you can go and you can get in the busiest place that they is at. You can go to the mall. And you can be on the outside in the middle of the mall there, walking. People going to and fro, going into places and shops and everything. But it's not the one thing that will ever turn their head. And you know what that is? That is the name of Jesus. If you don't believe me, you go to the mall and you just, with a loud voice, just shout it out. Jesus. Jesus. People will stop dead in their tracks. They say, where's that coming from? See, they get scared. They get worried. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God." We labor with God. God gives us something to do. God gives us a task to do. Do we do what He's asked us to do? I think the reason a whole lot of times we don't do it because we think that I ain't got to do that. God, He'll have somebody else to do it. No. God did not save me. He did not save you just to come here and sit down on a comfortable pew. That's not the reason He saved us. We know that the comfortable pews that we have will give us rest. And we have to have rest to go and do what God has asked us to do. But a whole lot of times, yes, we'll rest, but then when we go do, we'll do what we want to do for ourselves and not for somebody else. The crowd was confused. They were sick. They were spiritually sick. They were spiritually sick to the point that they didn't know what they could do. Why? Because sin was taking more of a hold on them than what they expected. Sinful people. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I have sinned and come short. I come short every day. You do too. The individuals that says that they don't never sin and they don't come up short, I'm scared to death of them. I'm scared of them. I'm scared to be around them. I'm scared to be around them like that individual was out of that boat on that Saturday afternoon down at Hyco Lake when I was down there and I was fishing with the Bassmaster Fishing Club. And I was in the club and I had a boat and all of that. That was before I even got saved, before I even got in church. But here was an individual coming back and a storm had come up. And the water right there was getting a little high. And the waves was getting a little high. So we was all going back into the cove to where we had took the boat off of the trailer. And when we did, we come around and we went up under the bridge and we come on out and everything. Then we had to take a right into the cove. And when we took the right to come into the cove, then we would go right there and we'd get in line to get our boats out of the water because it was lightning, such fierce. I seen this with my own eyes and other people did too down there. But that was an individual that was with us, was with the group. And he come around, and when he did, he stopped right out in the middle of the cove, and he threw his bait in the water to see if he couldn't catch one more fish because he wanted to win the tournament. He wanted to win that little money that we had. He done threw his bait out there. And
And he was reeling it back in, and then he threw it back out there again. And he put his rod down. And he looked straight up like this. With his hands raised up like that. He says, if you say you are God, you strike me. He could not even get the words almost out of his mouth before the bolt of lightning come down. Hit him on the head, went straight through his body. Killed him instantly. He dared God. That's what people are doing out here. They're daring God. And they don't know what they really are doing. They're daring God.
We have people today that don't have no compassion towards family, towards friends, towards the co-workers. The only individual that they love is themselves. They don't have no compassion for nobody. We need to have the divine compassion. And that divine compassion comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Comes through God the Father. When God says, my son is going to the cross for you and for your sin. We need to have dedication. We need to be dedicated to what we love. Do you love God? We need to be dedicated to Him. We need to be dedicated to God, and what God asked us to do, we must do it out of love. We need to have a determination. To go and to share the love of God and His compassion to other people. We need to have the determination, the concern for Christ. People today, they're not concerned anymore for what they do and how they break the Lord's heart, because they have fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They feel like they're helpless. Sometimes we feel like we're helpless. We go out and we visit. Yes, and I go visit and I call people. If I can't get them to the door, I'll go back home and I'll call them. And I'll leave a message on the phone. Sometimes they just don't want to talk to me. Sometimes I just wished I had a way of disguising my voice to the point that they would not recognize my voice. But I can't do that. I just let them know I was thinking about them. And I love them. And if it's anything, all I can ever do, you got my phone number. I'm on call 24 hours a day. I know sometimes it seems like maybe I can't get out and I can't go. But if it's any way possible, if the people really need me, and if you need me, I will make it somehow. I know my wife, Shelby, I know that she will just be glad to take me and drive me if I can't drive. And here lately, I don't do much driving because they don't allow me to. So that if they don't allow me to do any driving, then that means that they're going to have to be the chauffeur. But I've got to go. We have helpless people today. We have homeless individuals today that are scattered. They're not homeless to the part that where they're at is under the bridge and don't have no place out of the weather. I'm not speaking of that homeless. I'm speaking about that they're homeless because they're not where they should be. I can go right now and I can name off individuals that I know of that yes has told me that they're saved, but they're not in church. They're homeless individuals. Why? Because they're away from the Lord. They've backslidden on Him. They've grabbed a hold to the back of the pew when they was here. And when the Holy Spirit was speaking to their heart, they was grasping to the back of that pew. Sometimes you can see the indentions in the pew. Sometimes you can see them, see it on the face. Because when they grab a hold to the pew, they'll grab it so tightly that it will affect their expression. If they would just give up, if they just give in and say, God, I can't do it any longer. And if they would just step out by faith, step out by faith into the aisle is all they have to do. They can step out by faith and they can put both of their feet down right there and they will not have to even take the next step. The Lord and the Holy Spirit and God the Father will take a hold of their legs, will take a hold of their bodies, and that they will lead them to the altar. Why? Because they made the first step. They come out from the pew. And I believe when an individual comes out from the pew, and when they first make the step, coming to the altar, I believe right then that they're saved. They say, well, I don't. I said, well, you know, that's what I believe. Because they've never moved before. You can see conviction upon the heart. You can see it in the face. Yes, and we've had some people to come here that I've seen conviction on their face. But they just wouldn't let go of the back of the pew. They just wouldn't let go. They are homeless. They are helpless. And they are hopeless. They have no shepherd. They have no one that can shepherd them, where Satan cannot come in and destroy the individual. Do we have enough concern today? Do we have the concern that the Lord has given us, do we? Do we have the same compassion today that we had when we first got saved? When we first got saved, what do? We went around and we told everybody. Why? Because we're the happiest individuals. We'd go around, we'd tell them all. Say, you know, guess what happened to me last night? Guess what happened to me last yesterday at church? They said, what? I said, I got saved. Got born again. The first individual outside of my home, which was on a Tuesday morning, the Monday night before that Tuesday morning is when I got saved. But I got in my automobile, got in my pickup, and I went to work the next morning. The first individual that came up and spoke to me was my supervisor or the part owner in the business. You know what he said to me? He says, what happened to you? Something's different about you. I said, I just got saved last night. He said, why? I said, yeah, sure did. I said, Jesus just came and saved my soul. I ain't on the way to hell, I'm on the way to heaven. Praise God. You want to go with me? Come on. He said, well, I'm already saved. And he said, I'm tickled to death for you. The next individual that I spoke to that morning, he come in, and when he come in, I didn't wait for him to speak to me. I didn't. Because he usually comes in, he said, hey, how you doing? You doing all right today? I said, yeah. He come in, he looked at me. He says, got a smile on your face this morning. I said, sure have. He says, what for? I said, I just got saved last night. He said, what? I said, yeah, I just got saved last night. He said, no, come on now, you don't believe. Hey, he ain't never come the first time. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if he's come the first time, but I know one time he's come. He's come the time that I needed him. And the reason he was saying what he was saying, because he was a Jew. He didn't believe. You know, he says, he ain't come the first time. I mean, I did not mind telling people what God done for me. Why? Because his love was still so real to me. I was still bubbling over from the night before. I couldn't understand why, even to this day, I don't understand why a God in heaven felt like that I deserved a Savior. I can't see it. Because see, I know what I was. You don't. God does. I don't understand why God would save me. But he did. And I'm so thankful for it. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, for that precious, precious gift. The Lord, that you gave to the world there so many years ago. Father, that he would come and die for each and every individual, that none would perish, that all would come unto repentance. And Father, that all would go to be able to go to hell, go to heaven and spend eternal life with our Savior. And Father, because the Word says that hell was brought forth and it was developed for Lucifer, for Satan, for the devil and his angels. Father, was not developed. It was not for no individual living soul. Father, because he came and he died on a rugged cross, that we, that which are lost, can come and ask him to save our soul. Father, help us now that we go through this day. Bring us back to the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.